we grew up in a pool hall, a bar, and a liquor store. I'm eminently qualified to be president of the United States. I ran the pool room as a kid, so I know the Iranians are liars. I've met a bunch of liars running the pool room. But Darlene does mean the world to me. When I was 21, my mom passed. When I was 22, my dad passed 15 months later. It was Darlene and myself. We moved in with an aunt and uncle who worked in the textile plants that never made over $25,000 in their life. I don't know what I would have done without my family, my friends, and my faith. And I'm so proud of my sister. She's turned out great. She's got two daughters, one 21, one 7. She married a guy from New Jersey. Nobody's perfect. When my parents passed, we got a Social Security check of about $300, and that meant the world to our family. Darlene was a minor. She was able to get a check because of my parents' contribution. I know what it's like to need Social Security. Anybody on Social Security? Anybody need their check? Well, now I'm 60. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. If I had to give up some, I would. I'm going to have a military retirement. I retired from the Air Force after 33 years last month. Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll have a congressional pension. I've got a 401k plan. If I need to give up some of my COLA, I'll give it up. If I need to give up a couple of $100 a month or more, I'll do it. Because the people who need it the most are not going to have it if we don't make some decisions in this country pretty quick. I want to talk to you about three things. Too many terrorists, too much debt, too few jobs. As to the terrorists, if I'm president of the United States, we're going back to Iraq, and we're going to pound these guys in the ground. And we're not going to leave till the job's done. If you think you can defend this nation without some of our soldiers going back to get it right this time, then I don't know what movie you're looking at. We left Iraq way too soon. I know it's been 10 years, but it's hard, folks. It's hard to build people up who've never known anything but heartache and hatred. President Obama was told by his military commanders, we need to leave a force behind. He said no, and the rest is history. Bush made mistakes, Obama made mistakes, I made mistakes. The biggest mistake we could make is let these guys get strong over there, because they're coming here. 3,500 soldiers on the ground is not enough. We need about 10,000. We need a couple of aviation battalions to take the fight to ISIL. We're going to need embedders and trainers at the battalion level. We're going to need forward air controllers to drop bombs on the right people. Then you got to go into Syria. The caliphate's headquarters in Syria. If we don't hit them there, they're coming here. I don't know how to destroy ISIL without some American ground component. This is not working from the air. So here's what I would do as your president. I would send more troops back to Iraq, as I just described. I would go to the Arabs in the region and said, we're going to use your armies, and you're going to pay for this war because we paid for the last two. And we're going in together. I'd go to the Turks, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, and the Saudis, and we'd put together a regional force, and we'd be about 10% of it. And we're going to go into Syria, and we're going to kill every one of these guys we can find, and we're going to hold the territory. When it comes to radical Islam, whatever it takes, as long as it takes, until they're defeated. I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan 35 times. I've been in the military for 33 years, 140 days on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan as a reservist. If we don't do the things I'm describing to you, which are hard, the second 9/11 is coming our way. There are more terrorists with more safe havens, with more weapons, to strike us here at home than any time before 9/11. And I don't know how to defend this nation with all of us sitting over here. And I don't know how to defend this nation by destroying your military. Anybody in the Army?
One.
Thank you. We're going to have the smallest Army since 1940. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Smallest Navy since 1915. If I'm Commander-in-Chief, we're going to rebuild the military and we're going to use it smartly. The number one job of the federal government is to defend everybody here. And if you don't get that, you shouldn't be commander-in-chief. And if you don't understand, we need ground forces to go in on the ground in Iraq and Syria to destroy ISIL before they hit us. You're not ready for this job. As to the Iranians, I'll get you a better deal. How many of you believe the Ayatollah's been trying to build a power plant, not a bomb? Well, good. You're all right. How many think he's been trying to build a bomb? How many think he might actually use it? Well, what are we doing? What are we doing as a nation? If most of you believe a radical Ayatollah would use a bomb if he had it, why would you give him a pathway to it? We're giving him a pathway to a bomb, a missile to deliver it, money to pay for it. This is nuts. This is the biggest miscalculation since Hitler. It's not between this lousy deal and a war. It's between this lousy deal and a better deal. And you need a commander-in-chief they will respect. The problem we've got is nobody respects our current commander-in-chief. You know how you got this bad deal? You elected somebody president who's never run a lemonade stand or bought a car. So we need to re-engage in the Mideast. I'll get you a better deal. I'll go to Iran and say, if you want a nuclear power plant, you can have it. But it's going to be small for peaceful purposes. And you're not going to get a penny of money and another bullet until you stop destabilizing the region and trying to kill our friends in Israel. And if you want a war, you're going to lose it. It's up to you. I don't want a war with anybody. But I'm not going to sit on the sidelines and watch our country be walked over and walked over and walked over. I'm not going to be a commander-in-chief that allows the enemies of our nation, like Iran, to have the weapons to kill millions of us one day. When's the last time the U.S. won a war? When we, Iraq in 2009.
That was not a war.
At the end of the day, folks, the surge did work. At the end of the day, folks, we're at war. Do you believe we're at war?
No.
I think we're at war. You know who we're at war with? Radical Islam. Any Presbyterians here?
Yeah.
You are predestined to be here. Thanks for coming. How many of you think we're in a religious war? I do. They'd kill everybody here if they could. What more do they have to do before you believe they mean what they say? Make me your commander-in-chief, and we'll keep them from coming back here again. Make me your commander-in-chief, and I'll have the back of the 1% who are doing the fighting for the rest of us. Make me the commander-in-chief, and our nation will be respected again. Make me commander-in-chief, because we need one who knows what the hell they're doing.
22 years, retired.
The second thing that we need to do is get our nation out of debt. Does that make sense? We're on the road to Greece, right? $18 trillion in debt. How do you get $18 trillion in debt? Bipartisanship. Both parties spending more than you're giving them to spend. But you know what drives the debt? The baby boomer retirement. Anybody born from 1946 to 64? Anybody born after 64? We want our money. 80 million of us are going to retire in the next 25 years, and we're going to wipe out Medicare and Social Security. Remember Ronald Reagan? Ronald Reagan rebuilt our military. He put our enemies on notice, and we were respected again. But he sat down with Tip O'Neill, and he adjusted the age of retirement from 65 to 67 to save Social Security from bankruptcy. It needs to be done again. I'll be the Ronald Reagan if you can find me a Tip O'Neill. I want to work with Democrats. I'm running to be the Republican nominee, but I want to be the president of all of us. Tell me how you save this country without the parties working together. Tell me how you fix Medicare and Social Security with nobody on the other side helping you. You cannot. Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill had a drink every night. If I'm president, we're going to drink more. And after a couple of drinks, we're going to stop the BS and we're going to work together. If you're running for president of the United States, you ought to be willing to openly embrace working with the other side if they'll work with you. Folks, we're running out of time. The American dream is going to die on our watch if we don't do something about it. And the enemies of this nation are getting stronger as I speak. There's no problem without a solution. But let me tell you the commonality, and I'll take questions. Sacrifice. Some of us have got to sacrifice to save this nation. To the 1% who are fighting this war, you have to be willing to go back, and I know you will. What more sacrifice can you make than to go back over there so they don't come here? As to the rest of us, are we willing to sacrifice a little bit for our country? I am. I make $175,000 a year. I will take less in Social Security because I can afford it to give it to people who need it the most. I'm willing to sit down with Democrats and fix immigration instead of yelling about it all the damn time. Once you secure your border and control who gets a job, as to the 11 million, let's be practical. Nobody wants a crook. To the rest, you can stay, but you got to learn our language to stay. You have to pay taxes, and you have to get in the back of the line, and you have to keep your nose clean. The reason I want to be your president is because this country has been incredibly good to me. As a young man, I was bitter. Why was my life turned upside down? Why was I affected by losing my parents when I was 22? The older I got, the more I appreciated. It's not about what I lost, it's what I had. I had two parents who loved me. How many people in this country who have one parent, maybe? I had family. How many people have nobody? I had friends. I was truly loved and taken care of. I'm a Republican. I believe in limited government, but most of us are one car wreck away from needing somebody to help you. So if I get to be your president, we're going to do the hard things, and we're going to do them together. Because, folks, we're all in this together. Thank you very much.